Next case is 04-1103, International Association of Firefighters, Local 136, versus the City of Dayton Civil Service Board. Ms. Brown.
Good morning, Your Honors. I am Diana Brown on behalf of the appellants in this matter. I would like to reserve approximately 4 minutes for rebuttal.
Watch your time there.
Thank you.
Ms. Brown, let me start you with a threshold question. The trial court found in the first issue to me, it seems, is that the plaintiffs hadn't presented any evidence that they are individually or collectively subject to immediate irreparable injury. That's the question standing. The trial court seems to have found against the plaintiffs on that issue, but then goes on, as you know, to discuss the question of giving notice to the city law director, and then into the merits. Why? And then there's nothing. It wasn't really raised as an issue in the court of appeals. It seems to me that you wouldn't raise it, but why is this case not over when the trial court finds that there's no standing, essentially found that the elements of standing pursuant to a court of appeals case, at least, that there's no standing on the part of the plaintiffs? Oh, why is the case not over at that point? That's a jurisdictional issue, isn't it?
Your Honor, I believe the trial court, I think there were two issues on the standing. One was whether or not there were any individual discriminatees, as it were, versus the taxpayer action. I believe the trial court found, as they did the assessment on the taxpayer action, that the taxpayer action actually gave plaintiffs in that instance standing based upon the cases that were cited by the trial court, and that's what allowed the case to go on. The City of Dayton had argued at that point that nobody was hurt, nobody standing before the court was hurt by that, and that somebody was selected over them or given points over them. But, Your Honor, that wasn't the issue that was brought. It was the issue raised is specifically whether the rule itself violates the charter, not whether anyone was hurt under the rule.
But to get to the point that the rule violated the charter, your allegation is that it discriminated against minorities. But other than that bare-bone allegation, I saw absolutely nothing in the briefs or in the record or anywhere where that had that impact. I mean, we had, from the best I could tell, the classes were open to anybody. There was no evidence that they looked at race in any of the documents that they presented. So where do you get the position that it had some disparate impact, because there's absolutely no evidence in the record of that?
Your Honor, the evidence of the issue that's before you is whether or not the rule allows the city, under the civil service process, to consider race and sex. You raise the issue of the process is open to everybody. Everybody could apply for the fire apprentice program, but only people selected by the city got to be eligible for the points.
And was there any evidence presented that the city used race or sex in selection?
I believe there is. The fire apprentice program.
Where is that evidence?
It's in the diversity plan itself. The fire apprentice program is an initiative under the diversity plan. The stated purpose of the diversity plan is to increase the number of minorities and women on the fire department. That's one of the initiatives. It seems completely illogical to us that you would have as an initiative to increase the number of minorities and women on a fire department a program that ignored minorities and women in its selection.
When the plan was in place, did you present any statistics as to how many of them were minority and women versus white male?
We did not.
So we have no idea if that actually happened.
There's no evidence in the record about the population of people selected under the plan. Again, the appellants brought it as a taxpayer action to protect their rules. Their civil service rules require the appointment to public service based on merit and fitness. There is a little bit of history, a little bit of legal support for the idea of preference points. And that gets us to the King case, which is what the appellate court relied on. Excuse me. The King case has very different facts than the instant case in that, as you suggested first, it's open to everybody. The city has no selection. Whoever shows up who has military service gets the point. The huge difference in this case is we open the fire apprenticeship program to everybody, but we pick who gets in, and therefore we pick who gets the points. The clearest way to see it is the city says it's based on merit and fitness. You complete our fire apprentice program, you have now education and experience and certifications that makes you more valuable as a firefighter.
You're really saying that the plan on its face is illegal, it's not legal. Because you don't have any, you just admit it. I mean, said you don't, there's nothing in the record to show that minorities or women were disproportionate in the diversity program.
Correct. Our proposition is that any rule under civil service that allows you to select people for extra points on what is supposed to be a competitive examination violates the city charter, which is the city's constitution.
Well, Council, aren't you really saying any diversity enhancement program violates the city charter?
Absolutely not. The big difference is we're not challenging the goal, and that's really clear. We have to be really clear to separate the goal from the means. A diversity plan, for instance, if they created a fire apprenticeship program, they gave scholarships, they handpicked people for it, let them run through it, but then let them perform on their own on the competitive civil service
exam. So don't give them any extra points.
Correct. Or another alternative is give everybody points who has the same certifications, the same education, and the same experience. This case is different because the only people who can get extra points on what is intended to be a competitive exam, are people who are handpicked by the city under the guise of this diversity plan.
But, Council, everybody that participated in the Fire Apprentice program got the extra points.
Nobody got the points because we actually filed an injunction, a declaratory judgment.
All right, they anticipated getting the, whether
correct.
You are male, female, no matter your race.
Correct.
So there was an equity in the benefit, or an equitable approach to the benefit of allocating points for successful graduates of this program.
Once you got into the program, that's accurate.
And what you're saying, you have no statistics and introduced no statistics at any time in the trial court to suggest that there was an imbalance or a preference for minorities in the fire apprentice program?
No, Your Honor. What we presented was the plan itself, which, again, as its stated goal is the increase.
You stated the goal, but you didn't have any statistics to bear out your presumption that there was a preference for minorities?
No, we didn't have statistics, and we did not present any at the trial court.
Okay, so getting back to my original question, then, the stated goal then seems to be your problem as opposed to the method to achieve that goal.
It's the concept that to allow this to stand, the city can create then any plan, pick people for it, and give them extra points on a competitive examination to the exclusion of all others. Again, the civil service rules require a test of merit and fitness, competitive examination, the rule of one. I score the highest on the exam that is geared toward testing my ability to do this job, I get the job. That's what civil service is about. It was meant to be race blind, sex blind, all of the reasons civil service was created to begin with, to protect people from preferences. It's exactly why it was created. So we eliminate, make everybody race blind, sex blind, and you just take a test that establishes how well you perform relative to everybody else. The plan, the rule amendment that we challenged on its face allows the city to add points to that exam, somebody that didn't earn them on the examination. They get spotted points above people that performed better than they do.
Additional points for military service, then, you'd have a problem with?
It was all part of the same rule amendment when we challenged it because, again, there was no nexus to merit and fitness. Now, there was legal precedent, the King case, cited by the appellate court, that this court has allowed that in the past. But again, it was layers. It was distinct from this case because that is open to everybody. There is no selection process. If I'm a military veteran, I get it just like anybody else. In this case, there's a selection process, and the city gets to pick the pool of people eligible for extra points on what is supposed to be a competitive examination.
Are we allowed to consider at all the fact that this pool that earned these extra points earned these points? I mean, this was a pretty, at least by the testimony or what we saw in the record, was a pretty rigorous two-year program. It wasn't like, okay, you go into this test, you get 5 extra points because you're black or you're a female. You have to go through 2 years of classes and training and all sorts of effort. So therefore, in essence, you earn some extra points because you've put in 2 years of time that nobody else has put in. Are we allowed to consider that at all?
You have to consider it relative to everybody else. What they complete is a fire science degree at Sinclair Community College. It's open to the public. I could go in, you could go, anybody. We could sit next to fire apprentices, earn the same degree, get the same certifications, have even more experience in a fire department. I could have worked in the City of Cleveland's fire department for 5 years, went down, took these classes, got my certifications, and when I sit for the exam, because I wasn't picked to be in the apprentice program, I don't get any extra points. Although I have maybe better, maybe more education, maybe more experience than the fire apprentices.
Okay, you're talking about people who do it on their own. My question is somebody who does it through an official program, are they entitled to earn any extra points, or is that not allowable?
It would be allowable, Your Honor, if the rule amendment didn't exclude everybody. Because again, the concept is then you're giving people points for their education
but
and their experience.
But you said the rule doesn't exclude everybody.
Yes, it does. You have to be picked for the apprentice program to be eligible for the points.
But again, you have no evidence who picked who.
The program itself is part of the record in the case, and the program has a committee that selects people.
Okay, so you're again back to arguing that because it talks about diversity, you're therefore assuming that it favored blacks and women in the very beginning. You're making that assumption because of the title of the program.
I'm assuming that it allows a preference. And again, the goal of this is not what's being challenged. This is a great idea right now. Our concern is 10 years down the road when people have different preferences. The civil service system was created to eliminate that for the reason that people get hurt. In this instance, it's a great idea, a laudable goal. Diversity is not what is being challenged here. What if we destroy the rule, though, if we allow cities to create a plan, handpick people to give extra points, 10 years from now, we don't know what the preference will be. It's stated in the diversity plan as a minority and women preference. That's a great idea.
Council, were you precluded from coming up with this type of evidence to statistics to bear out your theory?
We weren't precluded. We were somewhat precluded in that we approached the case as an injunctive thing because they announced that they were going to hold this exam and that people were going to get points. So we came about it fairly quickly, and we entered stipulations. And again, our focus was not so much on each individual case, but on the concept that the rule will allow a preference. And whether it did or not in this particular case wasn't as important as modifying civil service rules that prohibit preferences. And this rule amendment will allow cities then to have preferences. And again, whether or not it happened in this case, that's a discrimination case. That's I come up and I say I didn't get the points or I did get the points. This is different. This is about changing our rules as residents of the city that promise us a program that is race blind and sex blind and puts people in positions based exclusively on their merit and
fitness. But also, isn't the program geared towards getting people who are trained and educated and skilled? And 2 years in this program would be presumptive of a certain level of preparedness for the job at hand.
Absolutely. But if I have 2 years in this program and I have more experience and I don't get picked for the apprentice program, I don't get any points. And that's exactly the distinction that makes this rule offensive to the process. It doesn't award points on merit and fitness. Sure, these people have merit and fitness, but the real linchpin to getting the points is getting picked to be in the apprentice program. So if I have all the experience in the world, way more than an apprentice, but I don't get picked for the program, I don't get any points, and therefore the city doesn't get the benefit of my services unless I score even higher than an apprentice.
So if the city adopted let's use two rules, because you have the military service thing, say they do the military service, say if you have military service credit, you get 5 extra points. And if you are a graduate of the program at Sinclair College, you get 5 points. And at the same time, the city puts together an apprentice program in which they actively recruit minorities, and the deal in the apprentice program is you'll get some experience out around the firehouse, but we'll also pay your way through this program. Would that be acceptable?
I think I missed the beginning, but it's acceptable as long as anybody who has those education qualifications, military experience.
So it would be acceptable if the city put together a program to fund and to give an income to minorities enrolled in the program at Sinclair College.
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea. And give them all the education experience to allow them to perform well on the examination. And then they sit on the even playing field with everybody else when they get to the exam part.
So your real complaint here is that others who graduate from the program at Sinclair College can't get the points.
My complaint is that people that are hand-selected get points at the exclusion of everybody else who may have identical experience in education, which is directly contrary to the civil service laws.
I was going to say, so is your solution that there should be no points awarded at all?
My solution, I have two alternatives, actually. You can award no points at all, and fund a fire apprentice program in which you recruit minorities and women and you pay their way, or alternatively, give the points to everybody that has the equivalent education and experience that the fire apprentices earn when they go through the program. And then it's perfectly blind. Then there's no selection process at all.
Is it fair to say that your objection is to the selection process?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So if the plan did not have the preparatory language that it's intended to enhance diversity in the fire service, those words weren't there, but the plan was adopted without those words, where would we be? Same place?
Yes, sir.
Because why? Because in effect, in practicality, there's still someone who selects those who go into the plan?
There's still someone who selects a population of people that are entitled to extra points at the exclusion of the rest of the world. There's some basis, and again,
but you just said, I thought you just said in answer to Justice Piper's question that it would be all right if they gave preference to everybody who went through the Sinclair College program. Is that, did I misunderstand you?
Correct. No, that's correct. I understood your question to mean it was the selection process under any program that would be offensive. And I would agree with that. It's not that it came under the diversity program, and that's been a hard point of this. The goal is a great idea. The idea is the offensive part is you're going to destroy a process that was intended to protect minorities and women by making people blind and picking people for public employment based only on merit and fitness, their performance.
Let's assume that the plan only had this plan, if the evidence showed that this plan had no minorities and no women had been selected, even though the purpose of it is to promote diversity, but nobody was interested. Still a problem?
Yes, sir.
Because there's still the authority given to make that.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Down the road, we don't know who's going to be making the choices and on what basis.
But isn't your position contrary to the charter where it says that they will be selected through a competitive examination when you say that if everybody is given points, that would be okay?
it's okay because this court in King said you can give preference points for some objective, non-discriminatory reason that you think comports with some level of merit and fitness. And I think the court said military experience, although it varies a great deal, may give people that education or that experience that would be valuable to public employment, and so we're not going to second guess it. But
I'm sorry, are you finished?
Yes, thank you.
Rule 96 of the board, I guess it is, Civil Service Board, said that the positions must be based on merit, efficiency, character, and industry. If someone went through the plan, the diversity plan, and did not have all those qualities, could he or she be rejected?
As I understand the plan, there's two phases, and if you complete them, then you get the points. There's educational component. If you complete your classes, and I believe there's some, you have to score some C or better or some level, and you put in your time, your volunteer, or your, whether it's paid or not, part-time at the firehouse, then you're going to get the points. I'm certain amount. Thank you.
Mr. Bonfield.
Thank you, Your Honor. Excuse me. My name is Patrick Bonfield. I represent the City of Dayton in this matter. May it please the court. Let me work off a little, depart from my script a little bit here. The Fire Apprentice Program is a pilot program which was created a number of years ago in response to a perceived need to increase diversity. I don't think the city feels it needs to apologize for that, and I'm certainly not going to do so. What we have here is a situation where the fire union and city officials got together with a moderator and actually with the assistance of a United States District Court judge, and they sat down and tried to figure out a way to improve and increase diversity within the fire department and acknowledge the problem. And apparently a laudable goal is admitted by Ms. Marks. They put together the plan. It's a pilot program. It's a pilot program where the union was involved from the get-go in the participation in the creation of the plan. They remain involved in the selection, which is so critical. And so being so readily criticized here before this court in the selection of who participates in the plan, and as the court has already acknowledged or pointed out, there's nothing in the record before this court that indicates that any individual selected to participate in the apprentice program was discriminated against on the basis of their race or gender.
The suggestion we have is because an injunction had been issued, there wasn't any evidence of that. Is that your understanding as well?
Excuse me, I did not follow you, Your Honor.
Suggestion has been made, I think, by Ms. Brown that there had been injunctive relief sought, and that was the reason that there wasn't any evidence put into the record. Is that your position as well?
It's not, Your Honor.
What is your view of that?
Our view is that the plans brought the action. They had the right to pursue the matter as they saw fit. In this case, they chose to proceed with a stipulation of facts, and they, as well as the city, are stuck with those facts. And the core fact, I believe, before this court is that there's no evidence whatsoever that in the plan itself, in the fire apprentice plan as it's adopted as a part of the civil service rules, or in the implementation of that plan, that there's any discrimination that was engaged in by the city.
The argument is that this is a facial challenge to a plan which ostensibly sets up a preference for those who are quote unquote selected to participate, not for the training or the skill or the education they might receive if they participate and complete the program, but merely because they've been selected.
Let me back up a little bit. I would characterize the plan in this particular area in terms of the Fire Apprentice Program, the rule, I should say, as being a narrowing of a preference point, a more narrow giving of preference points, if you will, than that which has been acknowledged and accepted at statewide for military service. And then there's a narrowing which has already been approved by the Court of Appeals in this case for the granting of preference points for individuals who work and satisfactory within the city of Dayton. And then this is yet a more narrow focus group, if you will, of individuals who are selected through a process that involves two union members, or at least individuals selected by the union, two individuals selected by the union, two individuals selected by the city administration, and one individual selected by Sinclair Community College. And because of the unique lack of facts in this case, the city has chosen at this level not to introduce the University of Michigan case. But I would submit.
Well, counsel, is the challenge to this plan, the plan itself is based on race-based selection, race or sex-based selection process. Is that true?
I believe that's the challenge, yes, Your Honor.
And is that, in fact, the selection process is based on race or sex or both?
The selection process is that everyone who would meet the minimum criteria for eligibility to sit for a fire apprentice, excuse me, a firefighter recruit exam, which is basically a high school education and few other requirements, and submits
an application to
an
the
application
plan.
And some indications if they're interested in it, are then evaluated by these five individuals, two union members, two city members, and one Sinclair community individual. And those individuals choose who they think are most deserving of participation in this.
And is the criteria they use, threshold or otherwise, race or sex?
There's no evidence in this court and in the records before this court that it's race or sex based. And in all candor, I was not a participant in the development of that plan. I do not believe that in practice, that race or sex was the sole determining factor. I'm certain that race and sex is always a factor in every appointment. We all bring with us whatever our race and gender.
Wait a second, though. We've got a plan here whose goal is the increase in diversity participation on the fire force.
Mm-hmm.
And opposing counsel says it stands to reason, logic. She doesn't need statistics to show us that if the goal of this fire apprentice program is diversity, it stands to reason the selection process is based on race and or sex.
And that begs the question, does merit and fitness, as that phrase is used in the Constitution and similarly phrased in the City of Dayton's Charter, does that exclude diversity as one of its goals? And I submit it does not, Your Honor. That they're not mutually exclusive concepts, that appointments will be based on merit and fitness cannot be based on improving and increasing diversity within a fire department of a city that would benefit from such improved diversity.
But the merit selection happens at the end of the course based on the exam and any additional points. We're not at that point with this challenge. The challenge is based on the selection process that will eventually get you to an enhanced position when it comes time to grade that exam. And if I understand opposing counsel, it's the facial challenge to the plan, because the plan itself and the selection process by your group of five individuals has this component of race and or sex evaluation as a threshold.
It has it as a component. It is certainly a legitimate factor for the five individuals charged with selecting those who are eligible to participate in the fire apprentice program to do so. Again, the University of Michigan case had similar situation, involved similar evaluative processes that the law school at the University of Michigan went through in determining who should or should not participate, and in that case, the Supreme Court, with facts before it, determined that it was appropriate for the University of Michigan in a proactive fashion.
Is the distinction here, though, the enhanced benefit via the additional points that are awarded at the end of, theoretically, at the end of the program after the exam, where you don't have that in the University of Michigan case? That is the entrance into the program, not a bonus award at the end, you know, for whatever course of education you're choosing.
Actually, Your Honor, I think it's more just a recognition of the realities that the program is not an inexpensive program. It is a pilot program. It was designed.
Well, I suggest that probably the program wouldn't be meeting this challenge if you didn't get the 5 extra points or whatever the extra points are on your exam.
But the points are clearly job related. You're talking about individuals who have devoted 2 years of their life and a tailored program that is designed to operate by Sinclair Community College and the fire department of the city of Dayton.
And then the point
for
is
those
being
individuals, those that narrow a group of individuals who are given that specialized training are then rewarded properly, so I would submit, with 5 points, perhaps 10 points, if they complete the program entirely. If they fall by the wayside, then so be it. They fall by the wayside.
What about the student that opposing counsel brought up, goes through the same program at Sinclair College, may have firefighter experience, education, volunteerism, etc., and not receiving the benefit?
My response, Your Honor, is that in the context of what's before this court, it is a fire apprentice program for firefighter recruit applicants. You're talking about people who do not have prior firefighting experience. You're talking about people who are coming in cold, if you will, and taking a test straight out of high school or whatever, seeking to see how they score on the test. That the city of Dayton, in concert with the union and in concert with a local university, community college, have put together an admittedly creative pilot program to allow a select group of individuals, not on the basis of race or gender.
You're using your time. Brown's point is that she's not complaining about the program. She's complaining about the fact and says this is a bad precedent to set for civil service, to permit someone to decide who gets to go into this program that, if they're successful, gives them additional points toward the exam. That's her point, isn't it?
If that's her point, then my response is similar to what I said before, Your Honor. Every preference point that is given favors some and, by definition, disfavors others. Military leave favors those who were in the military and disfavors those who were not. It is a preference that has clearly been recognized by this court. I submit there's a reasonable basis for it. Granting a preference for people who work for the city of Dayton and have demonstrated a commitment to the city and have satisfactorily performed, it has job-related qualities to it, but it excludes some as well, those who have not participated. This program admittedly narrows the focus further, but it also puts a tremendous onus on the individuals who participate to commit 2 years of their lives to earn those 10 points.
What if the city decided that we have a very large white Aryan population in Montgomery County? We think that the fire service ought to have some representation of white Aryans. So we have a program that they're considered to be now a part of the minority community. Okay, is that all right?
Absolutely, Your Honor. Correct. I think it's perhaps somewhat exaggerated, but yes.
Well, that's her point.
I understand.
Sometimes to make points, we make exaggerations.
I
know
understand
it's exaggerated,
that as well.
But
yes.
That's her point: is that we're giving someone, we're being asked to give someone to sanction someone being able to identify classes of persons who are going to go into this program, which will give them a benefit toward the final exam.
Your
answer is there are certain categories of persons, such as persons leaving the military, being discharged, honorably discharged. That's a classification that's sort of open-ended, and I take it that's your point, that you can have classifications, but...
And it's sort of, forgive my vulgarity, it's sort of a Dan if you do, Dan if you don't proposition, Your Honor. If what the city does is try to come up with a methodology that improves diversity, which is an admittedly laudable goal, and I've not heard anybody say that improving diversity is in and of itself somehow illegal or in violation of the charter. That the only way to do that is in a race-neutral fashion, in some abstract concept, then I submit no one has come up with that. And the University of Michigan case is an excellent example that the city is not obligated to come up with a purely race-neutral process. It's required to come up with a process that's narrowly tailored and focuses upon the admittedly laudable goal of improving diversity. And diversity may very well be, in 20 years, an Aryan Nation diversity component or a Hispanic component or whatever else this scope of this nation takes.
To sit for the exam, or one who sits for the exam, do you get credit if you've have a prior firefighting service with another department or with a volunteer department?
And no, there isn't at this time, Your Honor, there is not. And perhaps I should point out that what we're talking about, and I tried to make the point before, is a position for firefighter applicant or recruit. There's another position that was created subsequent to this case being brought before this court of a professional firefighter. That would be an individual who has prior firefighting experience as a volunteer or with the city of Cleveland or wherever, right. Wherever
somebody
else it
moves
might
to
be.
Dayton that's been in Cincinnati as a firefighter, and they move because their spouse got a better job or
that's
whatever.
That's correct, Your Honor.
So you now have a way of giving some credit for experience.
Yes and no. There's no preference points given at this juncture. I submit there's nothing to preclude the city from further amending its civil service rules to allow preference as that. But the examination itself includes, as I recall at least, an oral component in which that experience will hopefully work to the individual's advantage.
Your time's up, but let me ask you, had the city previously undertaken other efforts, such as special efforts to recruit applicants to take the exam in the minority community or among women, for example?
There have been some efforts actually before my time with the city.
So there were other approaches undertaken that didn't achieve the result
that's correct,
the city was seeking to achieve.
That's correct. And if I might be given just one more moment, Your Honor.
You'll be given some time to answer my threshold question, which I've saved to the last.
Yes, Your Honor.
What are you satisfied with Ms. Brown's response to my question about the jurisdictional issue here, about the standing? As I find it, the trial court says essentially they don't have standing, and then you've got an assignment of error on it in the Court of Appeals. But the Court of Appeals only addresses the issue of giving notice to the law director, not whether these parties, whether these plaintiffs have standing. What did you gave up on that? Or
no, we did not give up on it, Your Honor. It perhaps did not get as much focus as it warranted. But the position that I would take before this court is that while at least is an arguable position for the trial court to determine that appellants have standing by virtue of this being a taxpayer's action. In point of fact, none of the individuals who are named in this as plaintiffs in this lawsuit participated or had any intentions of participating in this program or to sit for the exam that would follow from this program, and that is, and on that basis alone, they were not harmed by this rule, are not harmed by this rule, and it's threadbare at best, in my judgment, to say that somehow as taxpayers of the city of Dayton, they have standing to bring this action. Taxpayers' actions are, I submit, most appropriately and should be excluded, used exclusively for instances where there's an action to recover monies wrongly spent or services somehow that an attack upon the public pocketbook, and in no way is this an indication, this case indicate there's an attack on the public pocketbook.
Did you argue that in the Court of Appeals?
The court doesn't speak to it.
That's why I'm curious. It seems like it's a somewhat strong point for you, which is just the trial court decides in your favor, and that's sort of the end of it, I guess.
All right. Well, thank you for your time, Your Honors.
Thank you. Ms. Brown, you used well over your time. Take 30 seconds for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Counsel, I have a question. Why did the union participate in this agreement and in the selection committee and then turn around and sue, I assume, at the end of a two-year program because you sued right before the exam was to be taken?
Your Honor, the union participated in the program because they think diversity is a good idea. They are firefighters and not lawyers, and I don't think they relied on other people that were participating in the plan to discern whether or not it was legal. They participated because they believe diversity is a good idea. They've participated all along in mentoring programs. They volunteer their time. They think, the goal is a good idea. They did not have, until they came to our office, they didn't consult legal counsel about the legalities of the program, and not until the end, when some issues came up, did they come and consult legal counsel about
the... They always have the option to ignore the legalities and pursue the good idea. So why did they pursue the legalities after they participated in the good idea?
Well, there were issues that arose that part of their participation in the plan was some commitments that the city made to them about staffing and commitments to keeping certain apparatus on the street that the city reneged on at the end. And very honestly, that's what prompted. But there are other appellants as well, and this goes to the standing issue Mr. Chief Justice raised. The trial court found, although we didn't have, there was no jurisdictional standing as the individual discriminatees, there was standing under a taxpayer suit.
I didn't find that in the trial court. Is it in the court?
Yes, yes, Your Honor, it is.
Okay, it's, I missed it. I read it several. Okay, it's there. I'll find it. No, you don't need to take time. We'll find it. Because I've got it here.
The judge in the trial court absolutely found we had the appellants had standing as taxpayers. And again, that's okay. Consistent with sort of the idea. I'll just close by saying it's particularly important that we ignore the goal in this case and critique the means used. Because in 5 or 10 years by now, the goal may be different. And if we allow a process that permits cities to select people to give them bonus points on civil service exams that have not been proven and are not related to merit and fitness because they're not given to other people with the same merit and fitness, we're not going to have a civil service system that does what it was intended to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.